Numbers 35:15. These six cities shall be a refuge, both for the children of Israel and for the stranger and for the sojourner among you, that everyone that killeth any person unawares may flee hither. In other words, if you kill somebody by accident, Yahweh set up perimeters in which you could be saved. You got the Levitical cities, cities of refuge. Therefore, if you did something that you didn't mean to do, then you ran to that city and you were protected. And two things happened. Into the rage of that person, the family member went away. They were thinking right. You gathered the evidence to be judged righteously. Or that person died and no longer seek you out. That's justice, isn't it? Are some Messianic believers doing that now? No, they get rid of people. You don't fit our standards. You got to go. Deuteronomy 10, verse 18. He that execute the judgment of the fatherless and fatherless and widow and loveth the stranger is giving him food and raiment. You guys got that one? Deuteronomy 10, verse 8-19 says, love ye therefore the stranger, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. So if you're treating me like a goyim, even though I'm in your midst, you're not loving me. If I'm treating you like a Gentile, like a heathen, even though I'm proclaiming the faith that you proclaim. You see what I'm saying? And I'm keeping you from the full blessings of Yahweh through faith. Then you obey. You come into the congregation by faith. You're justified to come in by the blood of Messiah. Now you obey. You're entitled to the full blessings just like me. There's no difference. Deuteronomy 29, verse 11. Ye little ones, your wives, and thy strangers that is in thy camp, from the hewer of thy wood unto the drawer of the water. I mean everybody. I'm just showing you that verse to see that everybody's included in whatever it is happening in that chapter. Deuteronomy 31, verse 12. Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear, that they may learn to fear Yahweh your Elohim, and observe to do all the words of this Torah. Let me reread that again. Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear, Shema. The word Shema means to hear and obey, to walk in it. That they may learn and fear Yahweh your Elohim and observe to do all the words of this Torah. There it is. So how can you tell me that if you're a Gentile or an observer or you want to accept Yeshua, but you're not a Jew, that you can still eat whatever you want, you can still keep the feast that you want to? That's not what it says right there. Do you know that in some congregations they don't really even study Torah? In some Messianic congregations they don't study Torah. You know that, Tony. They don't study Torah. And everyone that doesn't study Torah, they're the ones making the distinction. Torah. I'm giving you all the verses from the Torah so far. I'm not even into the prophets yet. Okay? Isaiah 56, verse 3. Neither let the son of a stranger, he that has joined himself to Yahweh, speak saying, Yahweh has utterly separated me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, behold, I'm a dry tree. Verse 6, let me jump to verse 6. Also the sons of the stranger that join themselves to Yahweh to serve him, to love the name of Yahweh, to be his servant, everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and take hold of my covenant. Isn't that powerful? Let me read the next one. Isaiah 56. What was that verse? Let me read 7. Even them I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. Hallelujah. But that's not what they're teaching. Does it say there he's making a distinction? So what is the requirement according to Isaiah 56? To love the name of Yahweh, to be his servants, and to keep hold fast to the covenant. You'll be blessed just like I will. Isn't that exciting? Verse 8, then Yahweh Elohim, Adonai Elohim, who gathers the outcasts of Israel, says, yet I will gather to him others besides those who are gathered to him. That is a prophecy about the Gentiles coming in. They'll be grafted in. Okay? Isn't that exciting? Man, I tell you what. It's messing me up. Ezekiel 47:23. And it shall come to pass that in what tribe the stranger soldiers, there shall be given him his inheritance, says Adonai Elohim. Wait a minute. Who said it? Yahweh, right? So it says that the stranger who sojourns with you is going to have an inheritance in the land. So wait a minute. Let me get this straight. I'm getting all pumped now. Okay. If you are a stranger or a sojourner and you graft yourself into Israel by faith, by the blood of Messiah, and you're obeying Torah because you love Him, and you're holding fast to the covenant, and there is one Torah for the native born and for the stranger, you're supposed to love Him as your own, then Yahweh Himself says, He will have an inheritance in my house. I will accept His offerings. So where do these people get off saying that they do not have the same privileges in your synagogue, when Yahweh Himself is giving you a bigger blessing, which is an inheritance in our promised land? Hello? Right? Are people reading? Is it maybe because the exile of the 10 tribes of Israel and the exiles getting ready to finish, and all these Gentiles are coming from the Christian church? The 10 tribes of Israel are coming back to the fold again. And among them, there's also a people that are another people that are grafting themselves in. And maybe these Jews who've been in the Messianic movement for 20, 30 years, now they're afraid of losing power. Because you see, there are more of the house of Israel than Judah. Because see, there are 10 tribes. They're only one tribe. And then you have Levi and you have Benjamin. Do you understand what I mean? Do you think it may be because there's fear of losing control? There's fear of losing authority? Because you see, somebody like myself, we just found out like 8 years ago that I'm from the tribe of Yehudah, who grew up in a Pentecostal church. All of a sudden now I'm teaching Torah, and they tell me that I'm teaching certain things that they're not even getting. Am I that smart? No. It's just that I'm willing to submit to the commandments of Yahweh. And I recognize that if I willingly obey Him, that if I willingly submit and I surrender to Him, He will give me the same rights as anybody else. So you see, I didn't know who I was. I thought I was a Gentile. It turned out to be that I'm one part of the household of God. What an honor. When I found that out, it gave me an identity. I didn't know who I was. Therefore, I embraced who I was, not to make me feel like I was better than you. Who in the world would want to be a Jew nowadays? Think about it. Either we're really Jewish people or Israelites, or we're just out of our minds. Everybody wants to kill us, right? So why would we want to have the Star of David and profess that we serve Yahweh, the Lord of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, when there's over a billion Arabs trying to kill you and cut your head off? So we're really out of our minds, we're schizophrenic, and we are too bored trying to find something to be? Or we heard the voice of the shofar, and we are coming back to the fold through Yeshua HaMashiach. Oh, Lord have mercy. I tell you what, it's exciting times we're living in. And I know I'm going to make some enemies when they listen to this CD. Right. I don't care. Right there is very simple. Let's see. It's like, and he shall come to pass, and it shall come to pass, that in what tribe the stranger sojourned, there shall ye give him his inheritance, says Adonai Elohim. I got to remember that verse. When they start talking to nonsense, say, whoa, time out. Let's see what does Yahweh say? Let's go to the Word of God. You know? Okay, let's see what Paul says. What does Paul say? Let's go to his writings. We're going to read the whole chapter 11 of Romans. I say then, has Elohim cast away his people? God forbid. For I am also an Israelite. Wait a minute, Paul didn't call himself a Judah. Did he say he was a Jew? I'm an Israelite. What, how come he didn't call himself a Jew? He was from the tribe of Judah because, you see, he was a Benjamite. And he was from the southern kingdom, and they all called themselves Yehudah. How come he didn't call himself? He always referred to him as an Israelite or as a Benjamite. You go through the Brit Hadashah. I don't remember that I can remember that he called himself a Jew. Do you? That I can remember. I may be wrong. For I am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham. Was Abraham a Jew? No. Well, he was a direct descendant of Adam, his genealogy. Of the tribe of Jehudah? No. The tribe of Benjamin, right? God has not cast away his people, for he foreknew. Let me go back to the original text here. And I'm going to read it, because a Puerto Rican Jew reading from a King James, it doesn't mix. It just doesn't, you know, for some reason it just doesn't sound too good. Verse 2. God has not cast away his people, whom he foreknew. Or did you not know that the scripture says of Elijah, how he pleads with Elohim against Israel, saying, Yahweh, they have killed your prophets and torn down your altars, and I alone am left, and they seek my life. But what does the divine response say to him? I have preserved for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed to knee to bow. By the way, did he say there that he had reserved 7,000 Jews? No. 7,000 men. It can be anybody who hasn't. By the way, the word Baal, Baali, Baalim can mean many things. One of them is another husband. In other words, they have not bent their knees to another husband. Okay? Verse 5. Even so then, at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it's no longer of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. But if it is of works, it is no longer grace. Otherwise, work is no longer work. What then? Israel has not obtained what it seeks. For the elect have obtained it, and the rest were blinded. So could it be possible that even our messianic brothers are still blinded to the fact that Yahweh is trying to do something greater than just the Jews? And I'm going to tie it in a minute. Just as it is written, God has given them the spirit of what? Stupor. Eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear. To this very day. Let me give you the reference. And Isaiah 6:9 says, and he said, go and tell his people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Isaiah chapter 29, verse 10. For the Yahweh has poured out on you the spirit of deep sleep, and has closed your eyes, namely the prophets, and he has covered your heads, namely the seers. Jeremiah 5:21 says, hear this now, O foolish people, without understanding, who have the eyes and see not, and who have the ears and hear not. Ezekiel 12:2 says, son of man, you dwell in the midst of a rebellious house, which has eyes to see, but does not see, and ears to hear, but does not hear. For they are a rebellious house. Could you agree that right now within the Messianic movement there's a rebellious house? Within our midst, that doesn't see the restoration of Israel, doesn't see the bigger picture. It's not about the Jews. It's about Israel. But you know, I'm very grateful, and I'm very thankful, and I'm in awe of our Jewish people, my people, that have kept the integrity of the Torah, even though they've added a lot of commandments, but they have been willing to die for keeping the righteousness of the Torah, I will say, until I die. I got to honor them and I got to praise Yahweh for them. Because even though when they're going to the gas chambers, they are quoting the Shema as they're going to the gas chambers. They kept a hold and they kept the integrity of the Torah. And they preserved the scrolls. They preserve a lot of the traditions. So you and I, we have somehow a way to walk towards there. They have been willing to die for protecting the integrity of the Torah. They've gone to streams, but they've done a lot of great things. We don't even know how to even deal with that. So I'm very grateful. I'm very thankful. We need my brothers. We need them more than you know. They're an inspiration of courage. They're an inspiration of really trying to be holy and doing what is right in the eyes of the Lord. Except that, see, they've done exactly what Christianity has done. They've gone after commandments of men. We're both guilty. And in the Messianic movement, the Messianic movement is happening the same thing. We don't know when we fit. We have Orthodox Jews. We have Christianity. They don't want me because I believe in the Torah. They don't want me because I believe in Yeshua. Where do I fit in? It's a tug of war. We want to learn from the Orthodox, but they're going to extremes. We want to learn from the Christians, but they're pagans. A lot of them are. But they don't even know it. Some of them don't even know they're pagans. They have been raised thinking that they're doing it right. You know, I'll tell you one thing. You know the African-American singers and worshipers? Imagine when the same zeal that they have, it's like Puerto Ricans. Pentecostal movement in Puerto Rico, those people are zealous, man. I tell you what, they're stubborn and they believe what they believe and they won't listen to you. But when they get a revelation about something and they accept it, they go all out. They don't think about it. Now, imagine when Yahweh starts opening the eyes of the Spanish-speaking people and the African-American people. And the same zeal they used to have, the African-Americans, to slavery, when they took away their identity, they changed their names, they changed their culture, they intermingled them, and they lost their identity. Doesn't that sound like the house of Israel? All of a sudden now, they were worshiping the Lord through the midst of struggle. Doesn't that sound like Israel? When they awaken to that revelation, that zeal of worship, I'm telling you, things are going to change in a way that you don't even know. Same thing with the Spanish-speaking people. See, we have to understand that this is all the master plan of Yahweh. This is all He's doing it. He's doing it because He's smarter than we are. And He's trying to figure something out. So listen, I need to protect you because, you see, I know the enemy is going to try to kill our people. So I'm going to be a master commander of the host. Let me prove it to you. Let's go to Genesis 33. Let me give you why people don't see really what's happening right now. And it's all prophetic. Are you enjoying yourself? Yes. See? It's all prophetic. It says, now Yaakov lifted up his eyes and looked, and there Esau was coming with him, 400 men. So he divided the children among Leah, Rachel, and the two maidservants. See, Leah is the mother of Yehuda. Rachel is the mother of Yosef. He divided the camp. Verse 2, and he put the maidservants and the children in front. Now, in my opinion, the maidservants here, I typify it as Christianity. They have been in the forefront in the last 2,000 years. They have done a lot of things wrong, but they have done one thing that is very important that we need to understand. Orthodox Judaism would never go around the world teaching Torah. They're discouraging the nations from coming in. The gospel needs to go to the whole world. So Yahweh allowed everything that happened, so the gospel and the name at least can go out. So people at the right time already had a foundation, and then He opened their eyes. Whoa, His name is not God, His name is Yahweh. His name is not, the Messiah's name is not Jesus, it's Yeshua. But wait a minute, it's not Sunday, it's Sabbath. So how would you even have that understanding if you didn't have a foundation in the first place? How would you know what is a lie if you don't know what the truth is? Or vice versa. So we were taught the lie. And at the proper time, He opened our eyes just a little bit. And we've been reading over it forever about the Sabbath. It's all over. There's not one verse in the New Testament that says that Sunday is a holy day. But we believed it. And we used to fight with people over it. But it's not one verse. So now we get received the revelation, and now we what? We received it, right? But it wasn't at the right time. Tony, if somebody would have done this to you 30 years ago, 20 years ago, come on. Right? Same to you, right? But I know exactly the prayer that you make. Lord, there's got to be more. I'm not being fed. I'm thirsty. I want your truth. Whatever it takes, I'll do. How close am I? I used to make that prayer every day. So finally He got tired of hearing me. Says, shut up. There it is. What are you going to do with it now? Isn't that exciting? He hears your cry. You realize how special we are, that of all the peoples of the earth, my Creator, the Creator of the universe, think about this for a minute. The Creator of the universe takes the time to incline His ear to your cry. So when you call upon His name, He doesn't care whether you're a Gentile or a Jew. You call Him from your heart, and you will cry out to Him, and He remember the covenant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And as soon as He heard your true repentant heart, He inclined His ear and He heard you cry. And He says, my son, I love you. You are my bride. You're my virgin. Come back into my arms. Not only has he restored us of being wounded vessels, he has restored a heart within you. He has put his Torah in your heart. He's given you a way of life to show you holiness, to separate you from the world. He's given you the ring of betrothal, the Sabbath. He's given you the contract and the ketuvah over marriage covenant, the Torah. He's given us the Moedim, our rehearsals for the wedding of the Lamb. He's given us food to eat that is healthy, will keep you healthy, and will keep you whole. He gives you statutes and commandments so you will learn to distinguish what is holy and profane and what is holy unto his eyes and to do his will. So we can be the bride, so we can submit unto our husband. I mean, who is men that he should be so mindful of? Isn't that exciting? To know that he heard our cry in the midst of where we were, to the point that now he set us free, to the point that you recognize that you're special, that you are his bride, that nothing can touch you, as long as you obey and we surrender unto him daily. Brother, where were you? Where were you when he spoke to you? He had to take everything away from you. Tell you what, you sit there, this is where I was, and that becomes a testimony now of Yahweh's mercy on your life. It's nothing to be ashamed of anymore. See what I mean? If anything, you were where, doing what, and you got it there? Why? Because you and I were too stubborn to hear when things were going good. He had to take everything from under our feet so we can just fall flat on our face and completely surrender and completely repent. We're not that good and we're not that special. But he finds it upon himself to incline his ear. You don't understand. See, there was a time in my life, and you remember when I started back, that I was completely broken and surrendered. And my prayer was, I want to know you. I want to hear your cry. I want to hear your voice. Even if I die, if I could just wake me up in the middle of the night hearing your voice. I want to know you. I found out, you know what, the word know meant in the Bible, to have intimacy. And I took off all of my clothes and I went face first and said, Yahweh, Lord, I don't know you. Make love to me. I'm your bride. I want to be intimate with you. How come I don't know you? You know? I don't even know your name. Imagine being married 30 years and then he tells you, my name is not Peter. My name is John. How will you feel? Don't you feel deceived? Wait a minute. You mean to tell me I come into a marriage covenant and you don't even tell me your real name? What else have you lied to me about? Yeah, they lied to me about the name, the feast. They gave me the wrong ring. So when I'm walking by the way, no one can know that I'm committed to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I was committed to the Son God. See, I didn't have the evidence, the equipment. See, nobody told me about the seats. See, I was not identified as the bride. Somebody told me I was, but I didn't even know his real name. Imagine the deception. It's all the plan of God. It's right here. Let me show it to you. Verse 3. Then he crossed over before them and bowed himself to the ground 7 times until he came near his brother. And Esau ran and met him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him. And he lifted up his eyes and saw that the women and children, and he says, who are these with you? And he said, The children whom God has graciously given to your servant. Then the maidservant came near, then their children and bowed down. And Leah also came near and children and they bowed down. Afterward, Joseph and Rachel came near and they bowed down. So you have the maidservants. In my opinion, it's just Christianity. They're coming out, aren't they? Then you have Judah. They've already been bowing down. But then you have the 10 tribes of Israel coming in. Why did Yahweh do this? In chapter 32, you see it. Mahanaim, 2 camps. He divided the community in 2 camps, the family. Why? See, if they will try to kill the Jews, which they have been trying, right? Then there's a remnant. There's a remnant that will be protected. He's the master of the host. He's the commander of the host. He knows more about warfare than anybody else. So what does he do? He separates the camp. Okay, I know what's going to happen because I see everything from the beginning. I see the end from the beginning. So therefore, they're going to disobey. I still love them. So I'm going to divide up the camp. So I'm going to allow them because of their disobedience. I'm not going to do away with them. I'm going to allow them to mingle within the nations and lose their identity. At the proper time, I will wake them up. And they're going to be regathered again before the coming of Messiah. It's a master plan. See, the thing is that even our Messianic brothers are not seeing it. I'm not worried about a Christian not believing in what we do. I could care less. They're not supposed to see it right now. When the rapture doesn't happen, they'll see it. When the rapture doesn't happen, all hell breaks loose and they're still here. They go, how come we're still here? And then they'll be knocking on this nice little room. They're not going to be going to without walls, some of the big churches here. They're going to come to a nice little corner, little congregation here in Nebraska and Fowler. And you go, whoa, what in the world's happening here? You know what? You're going to have the answers. And every single one of you is going to be a teacher, and you're going to look like a scholar next to those guys. Trust me. Trust me, you will. When you're walking this for more than a year, and you're really committed to Torah, you can go back to your own pastor, and you know three times as he does, more than he does. It's incredible the knowledge of Yahweh is opening in our eyes right now. So you see it right here in Genesis 33? You see it? Say yes, so I can keep going. So now, going back to Romans 11. I'm almost done. Half hour, promise. My son wants me to finish already. And David said, verse 8, and according as it is written, God has given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. See, I already read you all the verses. And David said, let their table be made snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. So this is the plan of God. So what happens is it's also happening among the Messianics. That's a bad thing. Because they're supposed to be just a little tad more smarter than the Orthodox. I don't blame the Orthodox because they've had 2,000 years of Christians really doing a good job proving that Yeshua is not the Messiah. I don't blame them. The Christians are doing a really good job proving Yeshua is not the Messiah. They do it in their actions. I'm more worried about my Messianic brothers who should know better. You think I'll get some enemies after this teaching? Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see and bow down their backs always. Always. And I say then, have they stumbled that they shall fall? God forbid. But rather, through their fall, salvation has come unto the nations. To what? For to provoke them to jealousy. There's a master plan there. Now, if the fall of them to be riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. By any means, I may provoke the emulation them. Let me get another reference here. Sorry. Romans 11, what verse was that? 14. All right, let me go back there again. All right. And by any means I may provoke to jealousy those who are of my flesh and save some of them. For if their being cast away is the reconciling of the world. You see what I mean? What will their acceptance be but life from the dead? Do you guys get that? So they're going to be accepted back, right? For if the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. Ooh, now he's getting into some nitty-gritty stuff. And if some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive branch, now he's talking to the Gentiles or the nations, or Israel, by the way. In Jeremiah, you see this. In Jeremiah, I believe, 11, that it talks about the tree, the broken off branches. And it says, and being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them became a partaker of the root and the fatness of the olive tree. Let me break that down for you. So if a Gentile comes in and is grafted in by faith, he's a partaker of the root and the fatness of the olive tree. Therefore, he has full blessing, and there's no distinction. So why is it that they're making a distinction between a Jew and a Gentile when they come in into the congregation? What is the biblical requirement? That they submit to the Torah. That they believe in Yeshua, right? Isn't that amazing? Do not boast against the branches. For if you do boast, remember, that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. He's talking to the Gentiles here. He says, remember, Gentiles, that you don't support the root. You're lucky you got in. You're blessed that you were able to expect all the blessings by obedience through faith by the blood of Messiah. Don't think you better. Do you know that Christianity has done exactly what Paul says not to do? They boast against the Jews and they say, oh, no, that we are spiritual Israel. They are cut off. Oh, my God. Don't they read? Same problem Christianity has. The reverse is done with Jews. They are boasting because they are the root. And they don't respect the branches that are grafted in. By the way, you know when you graft in a wild olive branch? Check this out. When you go and you do the grafting process on the olive tree, you do a incision. It's called Zion. Okay, then you put in the branch inside the incision. And then you wrap it. It's called Rebecca. Okay? And then, supposedly, this is what I heard so far, you leave it, you start seeing within 2 or 3 days, the root accepts the branch. 2,000 years, 3,000 years in Yeshua came. Okay. The great thing about this is that the wild olive branches, they bear more fruit than the natural branches. Christianity has truly been blessed, right, in a lot of ways. They have completely been fruitful. The 10 tribes also have been fruitful. Judaism has not given the same fruit. Because of history, they're forced to be in a corner and be isolated and being defensive of everybody because of history. So I don't blame them for not wanting to accept anybody they don't know. It's a normal human response. If you've been burned twice, I don't think so. So therefore, they see you come and say, I don't know that guy. Sit back there for 2 years and prove to me that you really want to do this. I don't really blame them. That's for the Orthodox, not for the Messianic. See, I don't blame the Orthodox, but that should not be the same, the same requirement if you're a Messianic believer, if you believe in Yeshua. See what I mean?
Yeah.
So let me keep going. You will say then, the branches were cut off, broken off, that I may be grafted in. Well said. Because of unbelief, they were broken off. And you, standing by faith, do not be haughty, but fear. Interesting, isn't it? Verse 22. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either. Therefore, consider the goodness and the severity of Elohim on those who fell, severity. But toward you, goodness. If you continue in his goodness, otherwise you also will be cut off. Wait a minute. The reason why the northern kingdom got cut off was because they committed worshiping idolatry, all their gods. Has Christianity done that? Yes. So they started to boast against the Jews. They killed the Jews in the Crusades and the Inquisitions, boasting Messiah. And Paul was just telling them, don't do that. And they did exactly what Paul told them not to do. How prophetic. And they also, if they do not continue in unbelief, will be grafted in. For Elohim is able to graft them in again. If you were cut out of the olive tree, which is a wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these who are natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? So he's talking there towards the Israelites. They were cut off, they'll be grafted back in because of unbelief. They believe, they'll be grafted back in. But you see, the Gentile who believes, they are grafted in too. See, it's twofold, both graftings. Okay? But I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion. That blindness, in part, has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles have come in. And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written, the deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Yaakov. And this is my covenant with them, and I will take away their sins. Right? Now let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. And I'll be done. Verse 11. Therefore remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, look at the language, once Gentiles, past tense, who are called uncircumcision, for what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Messiah, being aliens from what? From the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, no hope, having no hope and without Elohim in the world. But now in Yeshua HaMashiach, you who once were afar off, have been what? Brought near by the blood of Messiah. For He Himself is our peace, who hath made both one, who has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in His enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances. The word or contained there means dogma and is added in. So as to create in Himself a new man from the two, thus making peace. And that He might reconcile them both to Elohim in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace unto you who were far off and to those who were near. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, a member of the household of Elohim. How much clearer can that be? Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Yeshua HaMashiach Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being joined together, grows into a temple of the Lord, in whom you are also being built together for a dwelling place of Elohim in the Spirit. So according to Rav Shaul, and according to the Torah, and according to the prophets, are we all one? There's one Torah, there's one people, Israel, 12 tribes. I think I've stated my case pretty good today, right? Amen. How many verses have I given? Over 50? And they're all in the same sequence of unity, and they're all about one Torah. Yeshua says, I did not come to abolish the Torah and the prophets. Therefore, anybody who believes is accepted. Well, wait a minute. Where did Paul get the grafting in process thing? Genesis 13. No, Genesis 12. Too many verses in my head. And I will bless them who that bless you and curse him that curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. But you see, when you go look at the word habarchut, and you start looking for Hebrew root words, there's another word that applies according to Orthodox Judaism. Vinevrahu, which means grafted. So let's read it without understanding. And I will bless those who bless you, and curse those who curse you. And in you, Abraham, all the nations of the earth will be grafted in. When that was spoken, there were no Jews. So that's why the gospel needs to go to everybody. Because He made a covenant with Abraham before even the Jewish people came about, or even the Israelites came about. So this is not about being Jewish. This is about the final restoration and fulfillment of the promises of Yahweh that He gave to Abraham. That's why Paul is always connecting it to the seed of Abraham. The seed of Abraham. In reference to the Gentiles, you the seed of Abraham. The Israelites, you the seed of Abraham. The Jews, you the seed of Abraham. He made a promise to Abraham that out of his seed, all the nations of the earth will be grafted in. If you obey. Amen. If you believe in Yeshua. Amen? Yes. I hope this teaching has been a blessing to you. Yes. And I hope and I pray that if you want to do more studies on this, go check out the in the internet and look for the Noahide laws and when will they institute it, and you'll find some very interesting things. See, the rabbis have added things. Now, there are laws of Noah given to when he came out of the flood. I understand that. But you see, a rabbi told me, well, you know, they got to follow the laws of Noah, the Noahide laws. But to understand those laws, they have to go into the Torah because it explains 66 commandments in the Torah explains the laws of Noah. I said, well, wait a minute, that makes no sense. If you tell me all that I need is the laws of Noah, why would I want to look in the Torah to give me the explanation? Makes no sense. What if I want to keep the Torah? Well, no, all you need to do is just keep the laws of Noah and you'll be a righteous Gentile. But I don't want to be a righteous Gentile. I want your God to be my God, your people to be my people. When you go, I want to go. How about now? Whoa, you got to convert. That's not the Bible says. Doesn't say that. Ruth didn't need to convert. Does it say that Ruth waited 2 years before she converted? No. It says that she says, your God will be my God, your people will be my people. Where you go, I will go. And then she met Boaz, which means strength, who's the top and shadow of Messiah. And she knelt by his skirt. That wasn't his skirt, that was his talit. And the talit is basically covenant. Why? Because there's a teaching. You see the CT? It's got five knots, five books of Moses. Intertwined 26 times around the name of Yahweh. Eight strands with a blue one, which means royalty. So you're holding to the name of the Lord. You're holding to the word of the Lord, and you're expecting the redemption. So you see, when she went over and he put his talit on top of him, that's like coming into a covenant. He covered with a covenant. She's part of Israel. She became betrothed at that moment. Then it was the kinsman redeemer and that whole story there. Isn't that interesting? So did she have to wait 2 years? That's not what it says anywhere. Well, I hope this has been a blessing. If you want more information, you can go to wisdomandtorah.com, or you can send me an email at wisdomandtorah@yahoo.com, or you can call me at 787-220-7116. I hope this has been a blessing. Do not believe anything I say. Please verify everything I say. Amen? I hope you enjoy yourself. I'm in Tampa, Florida, at the congregation Davar Elohim. I want to thank you all for allowing me the freedom to record here. And I really love you and thank you, because when nobody really believed in me, you were one of the few congregations who opened your doors. That's why I always come here to do the new teachings. Amen. Amen. Father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I thank you. I glorify your holy name of Yahweh, Lord of hosts. And I thank you for the revelation of our Messiah and for opening our eyes to your Torah, for revealing your heart to us. Father, there's a lot of confusion in your congregation. Open our eyes to surrender and to be holy and to be humble and completely give ourselves unto you, and not to ever make a distinction between somebody who really loves you, who wants to hold fast to your covenant, who wants to fear you and love your name. Father, allow us to put down our pride and who we think we are, and be humble servants, bond servants of you, so we can always walk in holiness according to your statutes. And no matter who it is, if they're willing to believe in the Messiah and accept the blood of Messiah as a way of justification to come into the camp, that they're willing to obey your commandments and your statutes, that we can recognize that the blessings is equal to them as well as to us. And I thank you for revealing those things to us. Father, I pray for the leadership of all the congregations that are not there yet. I don't mean this teaching to be judgmental, O Yahweh. It hurts me because my zeal is for your righteousness. And I love your word and I love your Torah. Please search my heart. Create in me and in us a humble heart and a contrite spirit, that we'll be quick to repent, that this teaching will be a blessing to those who are struggling with feeling outcast within the Messianic movement, that we can all join in one people, one Torah, your people, the 12 tribes of Israel. B'Shem Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. Toda Rabba.
Thank you for listening to this program. If you would like more information about Wisdom and Torah and any other future teachings, please contact us via email at wisdomandtorah@yahoo.com. Now we leave you with the Aaronic blessing. Shalom.
Yevarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha Yael Adonai panav alecha vichunecha Yisa Adonai panav alecha ve'asem lecha Lecha Shalom.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you Shalom. Amen.